Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Am I on back there? I'm a different mic pack this morning, remember. Hello. You can hear me, just the vast world cannot. We're good? Okay, good. Thank you. Good morning. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter into the presence of our Lord this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. You can't. A special welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream. We are pleased that you have found us, whether you are joining us on this morning or at some time later. And welcome to the extended Rennie family this morning, to Johnine and John and Jeremy and their families. It's a pleasure to have you with us in worship this morning. Pulpit is absolutely covered up here this morning, so I'm going to try to do my best to make it through all these things in an expeditious manner. A reminder to folks that the newest edition of Presbyterian Connection is on the table outside of the office downstairs, so please pick up one of those on your way out this morning. And inside that is the Gifts of Change booklet for this year. And as we start moving into Christmas, you might want to keep hold of this. If you have that person on your list that you don't know what to buy for, something like school fees or nutritional supplements for someone overseas in their name might be an appropriate gift. So that's tucked inside the Presbyterian Connection. Lots of bullet announcements were on the slides this morning as you came in. So just a reminder of the Bible study is going to begin. Gosh, it's going to begin this week at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. And this year we are looking at the book of Genesis, so please make note of that. And we look forward to reconvening for another year. You will note there was an announcement this year, a very special announcement. A member of our congregation, Ralph Anderson, is celebrating his 100th birthday this week. So a happy birthday to Ralph. If you know him, you can give him good wishes. In the bulletin and emailed out to you, so there's no excuse that you don't fill one of these out, is the membership information slip. About this time every year, we try to remember to send these out. It's our way of keeping up to date with you and all of your information. Especially email addresses and telephone numbers seem to change at an alarming frequency any of these days. You know, I can still tell you the telephone number from when I was a child, 902-832-3255. It's not very hard. Can I tell you my cell phone number? It's a push. But we often kind of people will change an email address or a phone and it will just kind of slip by. You'll forget to let us know. So this is our opportunity to ask you to share that information with us, as well as things like birth dates, your birthday and your anniversary. The one thing about birthdays and anniversaries, would you please write the month? Because if you give us 02-11-63, that's my birthday. If you want to buy me a, just in case. The problem is we're never quite sure if it's the 11th of February or the 2nd of November. It's upcoming, so just in case you're wondering. So if you could write those dates out, that's very helpful for the office as we seek to keep things up to date. And finally, because there's this wee little note that was left here from last week about the Harvest Supper coming up on October 19th, again, you would have seen the announcement on the slide. But so that folks know, there are sign-up sheets on the bulletin board right at the bottom of the stairs as you exit and go down the stairs that way. So if you can help with some of the things required to make that dinner possible, we would be grateful. John is selling tickets, so get hold of John Adams or the church office, and we will make sure that you're hooked up for turkey. And then finally, bring a friend, family. It's going to be a good time. So make note of that. And again, the date for that is the 19th of October. And finally, this morning, our service includes the dedication of the garden out front that has been placed in memory of Fred Rennie. And so at the offering time, we're all going to go outside. Now, this is the thing that strikes terror into the heart of ministers. Don't dawdle. We do want to be out of here before 1 o'clock. I would ask that perhaps the nice way to put it is be mindful of the fact that we remain in worship as we move from here to outside. So do so prayerfully. Don't stop and talk to all of your friends. There's a wonderful coffee hour in which you can do that afterwards. But if we can move in an expeditious manner. The offering this morning will be a retiring offering. That means those who are doing the collection are going to come up and get the plates, and then they're going to stand at the back of the aisles, and if you have an envelope to drop into the plate as you leave, you can do that because they will be back there, and we will all be moving in that direction. For the convenience of folks who may be a little bit mobility challenged or aren't sure they can stand for the remainder of the service outside, we will try to be sprightly about it. There are a few chairs set up here just outside the bell tower door for a few people to sit in if that is a concern for you. And for those who are joining us on the live stream, we have an amazing group of techs here at St. John's who have worked very, very hard to make sure that we can live stream it. And we pray that it will all work at 10:45 this morning when we start to make that movement. We are guardedly optimistic that the live stream people will remain with us throughout that. So do remain with us. And while we are speaking of those movements around the garden, a thank you to the committee that has taken this task on for their work and their diligence. Joan Painter, Michelle, Alexis, Dan Plant, and David Shrimpton. And a thanks to Rob McGregor, purveyor of fine rocks everywhere. And more importantly, the big crane that gets the rock in place. We're grateful to Rob for the donation of the equipment, and Daniel Marion of Pitt Street Garden for the design. As we enter into God's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his path. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and is printed in the bulletins. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. It's actually going to show on the screen. It's not printed in the bulletin, but old habits still die hard. The call to worship. O God, you summon the day to dawn. You teach the morning to waken the earth. Great is your name. Great is your love. For you the valleys shall sing for joy, the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Great is your name, great is your love. For you, the monarchs of the earth shall bow. The poor and the persecuted shall shout for joy. Great is your name. Great is your love. For your love and mercy shall last forever, fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. Great is your name. Great is your love. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, who clothes the lilies of the field and feeds the birds of the air and cares for us too, help us to set aside our worrying and all our striving, that we might find what we seek above all else, your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning's opening hymn is number 410 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screen, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You, hymn 410. Please be seated. Friends in Christ, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting unto everlasting. Trusting in God and in God's forgiveness, let us come this day confessing our sins as we say together. God of all creation, you loved us into being, yet we often flee our rightful place in your creation. We confess that we exploit the gifts you place around us and dominate the richness of the natural order. Forgive our greedy grasping. We confess our part in the devastation of our planet home, mirrored in the violence of cities and the brokenness of hearts.
Forgive and restore us, O God.
Nurturing God,
remind us of other ways to live and of a place called home, where creation reflects your goodness and each thing lives in balance with all others. Come and find us, set us right again, and take us home. Amen.
Friends, the God who judges us has been made known to us in Jesus Christ, who died for our sake. The good news of the gospel is this: in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and made new. We are held with love in God's hands. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we continue in praise as we sing hymn 631 in the Book of Praise, Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands, hymn 631, or as it appears before us on the screens. Some young people in the congregation this morning, so I would invite them to come forward. And this is going to be a test, because I know I should remember your names, and I forget. You're going to have to remind me. Janiah, okay. And Preston, that's right. Ooh, come on over this way, guys, because I made a promise to those guys back there at the back that I would stand right here. That way I don't run off the camera. So I'm going to stay right here. Now, I was thinking about what would be an appropriate children's story for this morning. And for a minute, I thought about a story about hands that I know is a very familiar story here, and about prayer, because it was Fred's favorite children's story. So I did think about doing the prayer story, but I'm not going to. But I started thinking, because I picked that hymn about Jesus' hands and being kind hands. How can your hands be kind, Janiah? Do you know? You can pray with your hands. You can. What do you think, Preston? How can you have kind hands? Bless yourself and to bless others, right? Yes, that's a good answer. I was thinking about hands, of course, because later this morning, as part of our worship, we're going to dedicate a garden. So we're going to go outside because there's a garden there. And of course, one of the things that scripture talks about that hands do is sowing seeds, right? Sowing seeds, which is a kind thing to do. It is caring for God's creation. And depending on what kind of seeds you plant, it's either maybe growing some beautiful flowers, or maybe it's growing something good to eat. That's being kind, isn't it? What do we do after church every Sunday? When I go to the back after church, and what do? Do you know? We shake hands, that's right. And when we come into worship, we shake hands and we show each other that we respect each other and we welcome each other and we love each other with our hands as we shake and we hug, right? And what else do you think, Janiyah? I saw your hand up there. You can high five with your hand. That's a good answer. And if somebody falls, you can help them up, right? Which was one of the things that we learn in the Bible that Jesus did too, right? All kinds of things that we can do with our hands so that our hands can be a blessing to other people and can show forth God's love. Isn't that a great thing? So that's what I wanted to share about and remind us about this morning as we think about hands and planting seeds and plants and all of the things that we do to make others feel welcome and to be kind and helpful to other people. So that's part of our Christian service. And I know Trish has a lesson for you downstairs this morning. Is it Trish or is it Laura who's going down? Both of you, tag team, all right. So you guys can go with them and we'll see you after worship this morning. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, clothe us in your word, that by the power of your Holy Spirit we may wear the garments of faithfulness in such a way that others can see your glory, which is lovelier than the splendor of Solomon. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
The first reading today is from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18 to 24. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A workman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and casts it for silver chains. As a gift, one chooses mulberry wood, wood that will not rot, then seeks out a skilled artisan to set up an image that will not topple. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. The responsive reading, Psalm 19, and the words will appear on your screens. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In the heavens he has sent a tent for the sun. Which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy.
It's rising from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, of nothing is hid from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward.
But who can detect one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults.
Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
And the epistle lesson is from 1 Timothy, the challenge of reading right from the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 to 19. They are good to do, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life.
Once more, let us turn in the book of praise to sing hymn 434, For the Beauty of the Earth, or as the words appear before us on the screen. Once more, let us listen for God's word as it has been given to us in Matthew chapter 6, reading verses 25 to 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will I eat, or what will I drink, or what will I wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all of these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come with me on a little thought experiment for a few minutes. Now, when you figure out what I am describing, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? We are in the kitchen. So clearly I'm looking for the women of the church who I know spend lots of time in the kitchen. They will get this. We are in the kitchen. And I'm going to take about half a cup of whole wheat flour. That's important. And place it on the countertop. I'm going to make a well in the center of it. And into the well, I'm going to add about a quarter of a cup of water. And then very slowly, with my fingers, I'm going to begin to draw that flour that makes the walls of the well into the water until it's all been incorporated into the flour, until there's this sticky dough. Anybody know what we're doing yet? I don't see any hands. Well, maybe. That could be. Sounds a bit like a mud pie, but it's not mud, it's flour. Into this sticky dough, and then knead it lightly on a floured surface. Cover it with a little bit of kitchen wrap and set it aside. And walk away. Anybody yet? What do you think, Colleen? What am I doing? I'm making starter dough. That's right. Sourdough. Sourdough bread begins with nothing more than a little bit of whole wheat flour and a little bit of water. Worked gently together. It's better if you leave the window open and set aside. And 2 days later, you will bring that little blob of dough back out, the mess that we've made, and cut off just a little piece, about the size of a walnut or so, but that big. Divide it into several pieces, and then get a little bit more flour, maybe a little bit more than we had before, a little bit more water, a little bit more than we had before. Make the flour into a well, put the dough that you have already made and divide it up into it, work it as you pour the water in, and again, you set it aside. And what is left from the first batch gets baked into bread. Sourdough bread and that other well that we've just made goes back for a couple of days. Blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind when one day I was watching Julia Child and she had some guy making sourdough bread, and that's how they started sourdough bread. It's a miracle, isn't it? That you can take just a little bit of whole wheat flour and just a little bit of water, and that's all that you need. It will attract the natural yeasts that are in the air all around us. And you can make bread. I don't know about you, but every now and then, you know, you come across stuff like that, don't you? You come across little things like that, and it causes you to stop and wonder, how did this happen? Under just what circumstance was some woman somewhere in dark, dark history working with her on her breadboard and then discovered that she could do this? To move from shortbreads to yeast breads. To discover that the natural yeasts would just settle in there. I don't know. Did she perhaps let a small piece of dough fall off the breadboard while she was kneading on one day, and she didn't find it for a day or two, and then she picked it up, and that's what she discovered? I don't know. The gospel lesson that we read this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And for many of us, the Sermon on the Mount is one of those texts that we learned way back when we were in Sunday school, wasn't it? When we were much younger than we are now. I seem to remember a small little booklet on the Sermon on the Mount that lived inside the cover of the Bible that I carried to church each Sunday. And yet, I do not think that as children we truly comprehended the life-changing message of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Beatitudes, they're their own thing, right? And they just kind of roll past us, don't they? They're the little one-line aphorisms that get us going. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. But go a little bit deeper into the sections that we read like today, and what we find there is that we are invited to live a different kind of life. Jesus invites us to live a simpler life. At its heart, today anyway, are these words: do not worry. Do not worry about your life. What will you eat or what will you drink? Or about your body, what will you wear? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus goes on to say, look at the birds in the air. Consider the lilies of the field. They are completely carefree. The birds don't plant seeds. They don't build barns. And yet God feeds them. The lilies, they don't spin or weave or sew. And yet, what could be more beautifully clothed than a lawn in springtime covered in lilies? One of the amazing things about the time that we spent in Western Canada was the ability to drive through the prairies. And if you timed your trip just right, you would be able to see spread out before you this multi-hued set of fields. The bright green of the wheat and the yellow of canola and the purple of flax. it truly took your breath away. Perhaps here in Eastern Ontario, it's like the month of July, when you can go out and you drive up, back and forth along a road, and it seems that while you've been gone, the corn has grown a whole foot. It just seems that every hour, every day, you could almost watch it grow. This year was a particularly good year, too. If we can just take time, we discover that God's wonder is all around us. Maybe imperceptible, like natural yeast that just sticks to flour and water. And yet, we worry. We worry about so many things. Jesus concludes, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? You know what? Even the Gentiles strive for these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need them also. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you." At the heart of this text is the realization that it is part of our fallen nature that we lose focus on those things that are not of God. And in their place, we become distracted by the things of this world. We worry about things and strive for those things which will not satisfy us. And we forget to acknowledge the loving care of God. Jesus says, even the Gentiles worry about those things. Even the people who have no faith. They need clothing, they need food, and God provides, and they don't even know it. Even them. So how much more should you who know of God and God's goodness be aware that God cares for you, and God provides for you? I don't know about your house. There are four people in our house. And there are weeks that it seems that the Amazon guy stops at our house every single day to drop a package on the doorstep. And sometimes more than one package a day. Every day. Every day we receive something else, something that we thought we really needed when we were on the computer and ordered it, and yet it certainly isn't the be-all and the end-all, is it? Because the next day, there's another package. And we are never fully sated. It is hard to say, this is enough. And yet, as people of faith, we know that God is enough. We know that if we are to reach our fullest potential, if we are to live the life to which we have been created, all we require is to be God-filled. Again, for many of us, hearkening back decades, it is
as the Catechism taught us when we were young. What is the chief end of humanity? What is our purpose? The chief end of humanity is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. And that stands in direct contrast with Jesus' warning this morning. Right? Enjoy God forever, or live that life of worry where everything is a burden. This is the first week of our fall stewardship focus for this year, and this year's focus is simply living. And we begin this idea of simply living with the acknowledgement that our God is a God of provision. God, Jesus tells us in this passage, is not blind to what we need to live. And God will generously provide. But sometimes it's us. We lose track of that reality. We become consumed with the need for more and never feel completed, never feel like we're really settled. But there are moments, moments such as when an autumn sun hangs low on the horizon and the whole world seems to be painted with gold, or the drive to work, which is transformed by the changing of the leaves into this multi-hued palette. Let us look for those moments that remind us of the wonder of God, and let us remember who we are, people who have been created with one purpose in mind, to praise and glorify the Lord in all that we do. For it is then, and perhaps only then, that we can do that reorientation to which the Sermon on the Mount invites us. That we can reorient our lives so that we can use all that we have to live into the calling that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord, giving thanks to God in all things. For God will truly provide for us. In all things, let us give thanks to God. Amen. We come together now in our affirmation of faith, which is a responsive reading from the Living Faith document. We read this morning chapter 8.1, which focuses on discipleship. Disciples of Christ are called to obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Obedience involves us totally.
As we give ourselves to him, we discover that his service alone brings true freedom.
Life in Christ is formed in a believing community, and it is expressed in daily living. We are to bring Christ's healing presence to the world for which he died, his peace to its pain and anguish. Life in Christ brings joy, liberty, glory, but it also brings conflict with unbelief, fear, and temptation. Throughout our lives, we struggle with disheartening difficulties, yet the Holy Spirit helps us and gives us power to grow in Christ. While we are far from perfect, yet our lives are pleasing to God and helpful to others. Life in Christ involves prayer, the seeking of God's will, and the blessing on all of life. Prayer is openness to the presence of God, in words or the absence of words. Prayer is the focusing of our lives toward God, As we commune with God through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit enables us to express our deepest longings, and we experience the sustaining power of God's presence. We live in Christ as we study the Scriptures, learning to think and act in a Christian way. The Scriptures are given that Christians may be complete, equipped for every good work. We live in Christ as in freedom we observe Sunday as the weekly festival of the resurrection for the worship of our Lord, rest from our work, and the enjoyment of God's world. Amen. Moment, we will, once the folks have come forward to get the plates, we will move outside for the conclusion of our worship. The one thing I forgot in the instructions was for you to bring your the sheet that is in the bulletin, for it has the closing hymn on the back. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Abundant God, we strive for many things and worry over much. Help us to put our trust in you, knowing that you care for us in life and in death. As we present these gifts of our lives and livelihoods, may we turn from commodities toward your kingdom, seeking your righteousness first and foremost, today and tomorrow and forever. In Christ's name, we pray all these things. Amen.
Thank you. If folks would like to move in a little bit, I won't have to talk quite so loud. Although I still have to talk loud enough that Mark can hear me. So, friends, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it on the rivers. The Reverend Fred Rennie received the call from St. John's Presbyterian Church in 1975, just before Christmas. What an inconvenient time. And he served this congregation for 26 years until his retirement in 2001. Fred enjoyed history and church music, was a preacher of God's word, and a lover of God's people. Following his retirement, Fred continued to serve the church as both an interim moderator and a supply preacher throughout the presbytery, and he continued to embrace his love for history in his service to St. John's as their archivist. Shortly after his death in April of 2023, the question arose, what could St. John's do to remember Fred, their pastor and friend? And a committee was formed to explore possibilities, and a garden was decided upon. Therefore, we come this day to dedicate this garden in memory of the Reverend Dr. Fred Rennie, and to give thanks to God for the legacy of Fred's ministry here at St. John's, which continues to grow and bear fruit of true Christian discipleship. I would now invite Fred's grandchildren, Rebecca, Grace, and Chase, to come forward, and I would ask them to unveil the plaque. And the plaque reads, in honor of the Reverend Dr. Fred Rennie, devoted minister from 1975 to 2001, may his shining example of God-centered life inspire this community always. We kind of turn now in prayer, and there is a response to this morning's prayer. Please respond with me with the words, great and glorious are your works, O Lord. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, we give you thanks for your work of creation, bringing order out of chaos and such a richness, a rich diversity into this world. Especially, we thank you for creating humanity in your own image and entrusting us with the care of your creation. Great and glorious are your works, O Lord. We thank you that in the fullness of time you sent your Son Jesus Christ into the world to make known to us your love for all creation, to wash away our sins, and to fit us for eternal life in your presence. Great and glorious are your works, O Lord. We praise you for the Holy Spirit, which knits us together into one community of faith, your church, where your love for creation is proclaimed, and we are taught and enabled to praise your holy name. Send us out into the world to touch with compassion the needs of this world and embolden us to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ in all our lives. Great and glorious are your works, O Lord. We give you thanks for pastors and teachers who you have called into Christian service, for their attentiveness to the moving of the Holy Spirit and the right interpretation of your word. And especially this day, we give you thanks for the Reverend Dr. Fred Rennie and for his years of service to this congregation and community. As you used him, use now us to continue to praise your name and work toward the glory of your kingdom. Great and glorious are your works, O Lord. Hold us in the company of all the faithful, O Lord, until at the last we might dwell with all the saints in your eternal kingdom of light, ever singing your praise. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Cuddle close for the singing of the hymn, because you will sound better when you have friends. We close this morning with the hymn, "In the Bulb There Is a Flower." Something God alone can see. In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until it's praised. Something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past there come a future, what it holds a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. A reminder that there is a chance for fellowship inside with coffee and some nibblies. So please do come back in and a time to gather and greet old friends. And now let us go out into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And may the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, we praise your name, O Lord. Amen, we praise your name, O God. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, we praise your name, O God. In for each, you'll all move faster that way, I'm sure.